This is the Padre Peregrino podcast, theology from a wandering priest where you can learn scripture from the fathers and traditional catechisms for free. Join Father David Nix here for shows on church reform and world politics, all from the point of view of Apostolic Catholicism, the original founded by Christ.
This is RCT number 36, the Holy Catholic Church. RCT stands for the Roman Catechism of Trent. We are on pages 99 to 102. This is the Creed, Article 9, Section A. God give you his peace, in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, amen. O Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, who art everywhere present and fillest all things, treasury of good things and giver of life, come and dwell in us and cleanse us of all impurity and save our souls, O Good One. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, amen. Article 9. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. The importance of this article. With what great diligence pastors ought to explain to the faithful the truth of this ninth article will be easily seen if we attend chiefly to two considerations. First, as St. Augustine observes, the prophets spoke more plainly and openly of the Church than of Christ, foreseeing that on this a much greater number may err and be deceived than on the mystery of the Incarnation. For in after ages there would not be wanting wicked men who, like the ape that would fain pass for a man, would claim that they alone were Catholics, and with no less impiety than effrontery assert that with them alone is the Catholic Church. Me for the first time today. Now this is very interesting because this catechism was written 500 years ago, and many traditionalists are accurately now saying that what we see in the hierarchy seems to be the ape of the Church. And this was even prophesied by people like Fulton Sheen, who really the last 30 years of his life was certainly no traditionalist, and yet spoke of this ape of a Church that would happen. And essentially, what would this be? Well, this would be people that hijack the Church, infiltrate it, and have the effrontery, as this catechism almost prophetically said, they would have the effrontery to assert that with them alone is the Catholic Church. These communists now, seems to be what is being said. But this isn't just a problem in Rome. Notice these astonishing words of St. Augustine, because he observes here that the prophets spoke more plainly and openly of the Church than of Christ, foreseeing that on this a much greater number may err, E-R-R, and be deceived than on the mystery of the Incarnation. That means many obtuse Christians within thousands of years before Jesus returns in glory would admit Jesus lived, but especially in a dark age like now, maybe such people would admit that he rose from the dead, but they would get totally wrong why his passion, death, and resurrection took place, forgetting that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and forgetting why he established the Holy Catholic Church, which is the salvation of souls. Not to be part of a club, it's to establish the Church for the salvation of souls. And so you see errors like this in TV shows like The Chosen today that admits Jesus did miracles. You're going to see this is not off track, because we just learned there would be people that get the mystery of the Incarnation correct, but they get the Church wrong. And this very much ties to the errors of The Chosen, because that show, it admits Jesus did miracles, unlike many modernist heretics, so that's a good start, but they divert from the spirit given to every saint of the Catholic Church. Okay, now what does this have to do with the TV show? Why am I talking about the Church and The Chosen and then saints in the Catholic Church? It seems like this is all a little bit off topic. But here's the thing. The soul of the Catholic Church is the Holy Spirit. And so there's going to be a unification. There's a unity in the Holy Spirit for the same Spirit given to the Church as given to all the saints. And that's what's missing in The Chosen. And it's also missing in the communists who claim to have all this power in the Church. And let's look at like the spirit of the saints to prove this, because this is something that's kind of hard to prove. Just read a single book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, or read an accurate life of Padre Pio, and see if anybody in that TV show, The Chosen, is imbued with that same spirit of either of those saints. You see, The Chosen admits the Incarnation took place, but the divinity of Christ is totally missing in that TV show. The divinity of Christ as taught by every saint of the Catholic Church. And that's again why we just heard in the RCT, quote, Saint Augustine observes the prophets spoke more plainly and openly of the church than of Christ, foreseeing that on this a much greater number may err and be deceived than on the mystery of the incarnation, end quote. So it's not enough to believe Jesus existed. You need the spirit of the saints, which is essentially the Holy Spirit. And the Catholic Church teaches the Holy Spirit is the soul of the Catholic Church. That's not just a devotional thing. That is dogmatic, that the Catholic Church teaches that her soul is the Holy Spirit. And that's why I explained in an earlier RCT that the real debate is not if Jesus was raised from the dead. Only a very obtuse person denies that who claims to be Christian. But really the question between Christians, between even Catholics now, unfortunately, is who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And if you know the Holy Spirit that formed everyone from, say, St. Catherine of Siena to, say, Pope St. Pius X, there's no way you can think that same spirit functioning in a TV show like The Chosen is that. That is a Protestant spirit through and through. And I don't see how anyone who does my other series, which is VLX, that's the one on mental prayer, praying through the Gospels, teaching you how to meditate on the Gospels, could ever in a million years think Jesus acted like Rumi in The Chosen. But that is why so many Catholics are taken with the Protestant depiction, is because they've apparently never entered into real mental prayer to see our Lord or our Lady. Now, I'm not denying the humanity of either of them in criticizing The Chosen. I'm not denying the humanity of either of them. But you also see Christ's divinity in a true Catholic meditation. At least, if you're doing Catholic meditation the right way, you're also going to see his divinity. And that's what's totally missing from Protestant TV shows. And that is, again, why I'm not ashamed to say that Catholics who appreciate that show, The Chosen, have probably never really met our Lord in prayer. And that's the fault of us priests more than lay people out there. That's the fault of priests for never having taught people how to meditate. But that's why, again, I have out there my series called VLX that started even before The Chosen, so please check that out. And the Catechism again. The second consideration is that he whose mind is strongly impressed with the truth taught in this article will easily escape the awful danger of heresy. For a person is not to be called a heretic as soon as he shall have offended in matters of faith, but he is a heretic who, having disregarded the authority of the Church, maintains impious opinions with pertinacity. Since, therefore, it is impossible that anyone be infected with the contagion of heresy so long as he holds what this article proposes to be believed, let pastors use every diligence that the faithful, having known this mystery and guarded against the wiles of Satan, may persevere in the true faith. This article hinges upon the preceding one, for it having been already shown that the Holy Ghost is the source and giver of all holiness, we here profess our belief that the Church has been endowed by Him with sanctity. Okay, me again. Some of you have heard that story of that playground in Philadelphia on the corner of two busy streets, and none of the kids wanted to play on that playground because it was too close to traffic. But then, when construction put fences up around that playground, the kids actually went out and had fun on the equipment. Well, the same is true as to why you should study old school catechisms before, or at least during, your time of trying to meditate on the Gospels. See, we're back on this relationship with Christ. That is, that it should be the center of your life, is your relationship with Christ. I'm not denying that. I'm saying people are meditating on the wrong Jesus, literally the wrong Jesus. But studying the catechism essentially puts those parameters up to know Christ. We just heard in the catechism, he whose mind is strongly impressed with the truth taught in this article will easily escape the awful danger of heresy. For a person is not to be called a heretic as soon as he shall have offended in matters of faith, but he is a heretic who, having disregarded the authority of the Church, maintains impious opinions with pertinacity. Okay, the makers of The Chosen are objectively heretics. How can they guide you in a relationship with Jesus Christ? And see, everyone today wants to make excuses for heretics. Like, well, they just don't know better. And honestly, I do that a little bit because I think our main teacher in the Church right now, so people call him, well, he's a heretic, so I give Protestants a pass a lot for not knowing what we Catholics believe because we have such bad PR right now. So there's some truth to us wanting to give a pass to Protestants. But here's the thing, we just heard that heresy is also tantamount to simply disregarding the authority of the Church as she has always been, the church as she is always taught in her perennial magisterium. And when you ignore that, not only are you going to not know the Catholic Church, you're not going to know Jesus Christ himself. And by the authority of the church, that does not mean heretics who front as members of the hierarchy, faking themselves out to be members of the hierarchy, hijacking certain roles, we'll say. But rather, we're talking about, when I say the Catholic Church, I mean the classic magisterium. And that's why we do this series on RCT, because it's the only infallible catechism out there. It has nothing to do with me. This is an infallible catechism we're looking at, so you can't go wrong with it. Anyway, back to the analogy of the playground. St. Ignatius of Loyola, he wanted his men to know St. Thomas Aquinas even before they taught Ignatian mental prayer. That's my VLX series, is Ignatian mental prayer. But Ignatius himself wanted his men to know St. Thomas Aquinas. Why? So they could have the rules down before the relationship. Now, that might sound backwards, but remember, it was, Aristotle said, first in intention is last in execution. The relationship with Christ, our union with Christ, is the goal, but you got to know the parameters first. It's the same thing with playing chess. You could play your three-year-old son in chess, but he's not really playing with you the right way, at least, until he's older and able to learn the rules, you know, unless he's like a super genius at age three. But think about that. It's actually a lot more fun for both you and your son to play chess once he knows the rules. On the other hand, playing chess without rules is like making a TV show about Jesus called The Chosen without traditional Catholic dogma. Not because we need them to be more stringent or serious people in that show. That's not what's missing. It's because the makers of that TV show don't know the Holy Spirit who formed every saint of 2,000 years from St. John the Evangelist to Padre Pio. Now, of course, the worst offense of The Chosen is, like my friend Layla Miller pointed out, that the woman they chose as the Blessed Virgin Mary, these Protestant and Mormon makers of that TV show, they make her, and let me put this in a totally different sentence than her so that we don't blaspheme her, they make her the dirtiest woman on the set. That's what Layla says, and she's absolutely right. And by dirt, I don't mean moral filth, though they do blaspheme her on that front also, but trying to make her look poor with dirt on her face, literally. Think about that. What spirit is leading the makers of The Chosen to make her the dirtiest woman on the set? It's not the Holy Spirit, who we as Catholics know to be the spouse of the Immaculate Virgin Mary. But the one reason, why Mary is the destroyer of all heresies is because her spouse is the Holy Spirit. So if you don't know the parameters of dogma, you're going to think Jesus looks and acts like Rumi in The Chosen, and his mom like whoever that person is. And they really make her to be a slob. Notice I don't even say her real name in the same sentence as slob, because it's so blasphemous how they make her. And you see that TV show is not just a different taste from, say, my style of keeping the faith. It's extremely dangerous to your soul to think our Lord and our Lady had a Protestant spirit about them. Let me say that again. It is extremely dangerous to your soul to think our Lord and our Lady had a Protestant spirit about them like you see in that show, The Chosen. That's why you must learn traditional Catholicism before you try the advanced mental prayer ways of St. Teresa of Avila or St. Ignatius of Loyola, or at least learn them together at the same time. Okay, the next section of the Catechism. First part of this article, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. The Latins, having borrowed the word ecclesia, church, from the Greeks, have transferred it, since the preaching of the gospel, to sacred things. It becomes necessary, therefore, to explain its meaning. Church. The word ecclesia, or church, means a calling forth, but writers afterward used it to signify a meeting or assembly, whether the people gathered together were members of a true or of a false religion. Thus, in Acts of the Apostles, it is written of the people of Ephesus that when the town clerk had appeased a tumultuous assemblage, he said, "And if you inquire after any other matter, it may be decided in a lawful church." Acts 19:39. The Ephesians, who were worshippers of Diana, are thus called a lawful church ecclesia, nor are the Gentiles only who knew not God called a church ecclesia. By the same name, at times are also designated the councils of wicked and impious men. For example, in Psalm 25, "I have hated the church, ecclesium of the malignant," says the prophet, and with the wicked I will not sit. Again, Psalm 25. Okay, me again. A couple things here which are fascinating. Now, if you had asked me before this podcast what ecclesia meant, I would have said gathering, like most people who've studied a little bit of the ancient languages. But the RCT just taught me something, that gathering is actually the secondary meaning. The primary meaning of ecclesia is a calling forth. Now, that's beautiful because that reminds me of God calling forth Eve out of Adam's side. So also the Catholic Church was called forth out of Jesus Christ's pure side on the cross. This is the sacraments, and life was breathed into her at Pentecost. So right there, there's a very beautiful analogy to the Catholic Church in recognizing that ecclesia in Greek first meant a calling forth, even before it means the word gathering. Different topic, but the other interesting thing right there is that sometimes a little c church can exist, like the gathering of the wicked, as we just heard in Psalm 25. And I think maybe that's why we can occasionally refer to Protestants having a megachurch. Doesn't mean that we believe that megachurch is part of the one true capital C church, or that an emergent church, little c emergent church, belongs to the Holy Roman Apostolic Church, capital C. But it shows that ecclesia can have a more broad term than just church, at least linguistically. But as far as big C, there's only one church, and that is where the RCT goes next. In common scripture usage, however, the word was subsequently employed to signify the Christian society only, and the assemblies of the faithful, that is, of those who are called by faith to the light of truth and the knowledge of God, that having forsaken the darkness of ignorance and error, they may worship the living and true God piously and holily, and serve him from their whole heart. In a word, the church, says St. Augustine, consists of the faithful dispersed throughout the world. Me again. So notice the Catholic Church is the faithful dispersed throughout the world who have forsaken the darkness of ignorance and error, and now worship the living and true God piously. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we exclude sinners from such a group. We're all sinners. Some people are venial sinners. Some people are mortal sinners. They're still part of the church. Mortal sinners shouldn't go to Holy Communion. So, of course, there's sinners in the Catholic Church. That's why we have the parable of the weeds and the wheat. We're not claiming this is the invisible community of the most perfect people. But here's who does not belong to the Catholic Church. Apostates. Once you denounce the Catholic faith fully, as you-know-who has done on several occasions, you're no longer in the Catholic Church. But anyway, back to some good news. What a beautiful line if you're looking at memorize something today. And I will put this definition in the show notes, that the Catholic Church is the faithful dispersed throughout the entire world who have forsaken the darkness of ignorance and error and now worship the living and true God piously. And then notice also we are united not only by geography. Catholics are not just united by geography at one time, but also through all of time. In other words, Catholic means according to the whole. I know a lot of people say, well, Catholic means universal, so you should just look around the world and, I don't know, it's ecumenism and the Novus Ordo, and that's what it means to be Catholic. No. What it means to be Catholic is not the whole of a particularly dark time in church history like now, but being Catholic, you have to look at what does it mean according to the whole of how Catholics in all ages have lived and worshiped and held the unchanging doctrine to be. That is what it means to be part of the Catholic Church. So, say, an Arian in the 4th century couldn't say, well, what it means to be Catholic is what I see all around me, which is other Arians. No, that's an isolated dark time in church history. Same with modernism. This is an isolated dark time in church history. If you want to know what it means to be Catholic, you look at how the saints of every single age lived, taught, and acted, and that should give you an idea of what it means to be Catholic. Catechism again, mysteries which the word church comprises. In this word are contained important mysteries, for in the calling forth which it signifies, we recognize at once the benignity and splendor of divine grace, and we understand that the church is very unlike all other societies. Other bodies rest on human reason and prudence, but the church reposes on the wisdom and counsels of God, who has called us inwardly by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, who opens the hearts of men, and outwardly through the labor and ministry of pastors and preachers. Moreover, the end or goal of this vocation, that is, the knowledge and possession of things eternal, will be at once understood if we but remember why the faithful of the old law were called a synagogue, that is, a flock, for as St. Augustine teaches, they were so called because, like cattle, they are wont, or likely, to herd together, they looked only to terrestrial and transitory goods. Wherefore the Christian people are justly called not a synagogue, but a church, because despising earthly and passing things, they pursue only things heavenly and eternal. Me again. Notice the Jewish synagogue sought God's blessings on earth, and that is why the Old Testament has so many earthly blessings for the patriarchs, and that's fine. That's what God was giving at that time. But the Catholic Church of the New Covenant seeks to despise, or rather has people who should be seeking to despise earthly things, and we despise them not to be slobs, but by seeking God's blessings prepared for us in heaven. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, all these things will be added unto you. Okay, the catechism again. Other names given to the church in Scripture. Many names, moreover, which are replete with mysteries, have been used to designate the Christian body. Thus, by the apostle, it is called the house, an edifice of God. If, says St. Paul to Timothy, I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. Okay, me again. Now that's a fun one to use with Protestants. Say to them something like, okay, so we're agreed the Bible's the pillar and bulwark of the truth, right? And they'll mindlessly say yes. And then you can say, no, the Bible itself says that the pillar and bulwark of the truth is the church. St. Paul says so in 1 Timothy 3:15. And that's not just a nasty trick. It shows them what they've taken for granted, including their own expertise in Scripture, of which they're rarely experts, even though they say they love St. Paul. But again, notice, the pillar and bulwark of the truth is the Catholic Church. Okay, the last section of the Catechism today, and we'll close with these beautiful words on other ways or analogies in which we can refer to the one holy Catholic and apostolic Church. The Catechism says, the Church is called a house because it is, as it were, one family governed by one father of the family and enjoying a community of all spiritual goods. It is also called the flock of the sheep of Christ, of which he is the door and the shepherd. It is called the spouse of Christ. I have espoused you to one husband, says the apostle to the Corinthians, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:2. And he writes to the Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church, Ephesians 5:25, and of marriage. This is a great sacrament, but I speak in Christ and in the church, Ephesians 5:32. Finally, the church is called the body of Christ, as may be seen in the epistles to the Ephesians and Colossians, Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1. Each of these appellations has a very great influence in exciting the faithful to prove themselves worthy of the boundless clemency and goodness of God, who chose them to be the people of God. Thanks to all my benefactors, spiritual and material. My only income comes from you, my listeners. You keep this free for everyone who can't donate. I remember both groups at my masses. And please say an Our Father for me, et benedictio Domini potentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et mani et semper. Amen.